paradise, where there will be no parting hand and the soul never dies. No sad farewells, no tear dimmed eyes, where all is love and the soul never dies.
Beautiful. You may be seated. That's good singing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Who's got any special or unspoken prayer request tonight on your heart? Anybody in the house? Yes.
Unspoken and lost.
Amen. That's Pam.
I have a request on praise. The request is from Laura. She's still having, she's like this, her sugar's like that. And my husband was in church.
Yeah. Yes. Amen. That's right. Yes, Helen. Host Claw. Rosie and Paul. Uncle Gene. Okay. Remember that.
Mom, she can't get around good at all that.
Yeah, April's been having a hard time. Yes. Right. Yeah, a lot going on right now in the world, isn't there? Yeah. But I think the Lord already knows that. Yeah. He knows about that forecast. And I'm glad He does. Okay. We'll remember that. That's right. All right, we'll have our ushers come on up. We'll take up our Sunday night offering. It's good to see Brother John back with us. We've been missing you, John. Amen. You pray for us tonight, John. Going to share a song with us in just a minute. Not right now, brother. We're going to sing one more, brother. If I can get him back up. Once you get down, sometimes it's hard to get up, isn't it? Stand up and let's sing 103. 103. Let's sing more about Jesus before Tom shares that song with us. I love more about Jesus. That's what we're here for anyhow, isn't it? More about Jesus.
Jesus, I would know more of His grace to others show, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me, more about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me, more about Jesus, let me learn more of His word.
right, Brother Tom. Now, come on, share that song with us.
You know, I was reminded when I was thinking of this song, I've never sung the song, but I was reminded of the message this morning. You know, in our battle that is daily with the flesh, it's a war, and it never ceases. Paul says, I have to kill the flesh every day because it's always pulling at who the old man is, and I'm the new man. But I think if we would get our minds more towards heaven, you know, I've heard that saying, you know, don't be too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. Don't listen to that. The more heavenly minded we get, the more earthly good we'll be.
Amen.
The more testimony we'll have.
Yeah.
And the more we'll look for our Redeemer. So it seems like lately I've been singing a lot of songs about heaven. And this is just another version of that.
Somewhere beyond grace, there's a place where Jesus went by his own hand, and for the sake of grace, there is a rest. And in a few more days, it will be mine. Some call it heaven. I call it home. Some call it somewhere beyond the sky, some call it heaven.
I call it home.
Someone said you can go back home again, and things will not ever as good as they've been. I've got good news for you. When heaven comes into view, one glimpse and you will know the best is yet to come. Some call it heaven, I call it home. Some call it
dream.
Just let me dream on. Some call it paradise, somewhere beyond the skies. Some call it heaven.
Just pilgrims passing through in this land. This land is not our home. Heaven is our home. And I know that we all have some loved ones in heaven. that we can't wait to see. I've got friends in heaven that I cannot wait to see, and I'm excited about seeing them. And I'm sure you're excited about seeing your friends and family that's in heaven as well. But I'm excited to see God.
Amen.
I've never seen God face to face. I can't wait to see Him. I'm excited to see Jesus.
Amen.
I've never seen Jesus face to face. I felt His presence. I felt the Holy Spirit. But as far as seeing, physically seeing Jesus, that's something that I've never got to do. I can't wait to do that, folks. That's going to be an extremely exciting time. And you know what's going to happen when we get to see Jesus physically? We're no longer going to need faith. You know, we need faith here. We need it every single day. We have to have it. We pray through faith. We come to church through faith. We believe through faith. We believe that Jesus died through faith. We believe that He rose on the third day through faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is what makes us survive in this world. But hallelujah, when we see our Savior, we're not going to need faith anymore because it's going to end in sight, praise God. And how awesome that is going to be. If you got your Bibles with you tonight, Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 5, and I'll make some brief announcements and we'll get started here. I do want to remind everybody that the orange directory is back there at the back. That's been laying back there for editing purposes. So if your phone number is changed or your address or email or something like that, those have been laying back there now for a good while, I believe. And I think Stacy is going to take those tonight or maybe Wednesday night or next Sunday. I can't remember when it is, but she's going to be taking those. So make sure if you're new and just started coming, fill it out. Put your name on there somewhere with your address and phone number and credit card information. And we'll get that back to you, okay? And want to remind everybody that Tuesday night, men's and women's meet, 6 o'clock. The women meet over in the fellowship hall, and the men, we meet downstairs here in the church. And if you've never came to one of those, I want to encourage you to do that. It's a great opportunity just to get together and have some good fellowship with your brothers in Christ, with your sisters in Christ, and it's an awesome time. So I want to encourage you to do that. And also the spaghetti dinner that's coming up. If you haven't bought tickets, get tickets for that. I know my wife, Lene, had 2 left. I don't know if those 2 are still available. We've had a kind of a hectic afternoon, so just talk to her tonight, okay, when you see her. If she's got 2 tickets, if you've not bought any tickets to the spaghetti dinner. And I can't wait to eat. I love to eat, so I'm excited about the spaghetti dinner. Anybody go to Burger King today? Brenda did. Brenda listened. I like it. That's good. I'm going to Burger King tonight, Brenda. All right. I'm going to get 2 Whoppers. Okay. Whopper Jr. All right. Well, that's okay. That's all right. You'd had to have been here this morning to understand that question. If you wasn't here this morning, you're lost. That's okay. Don't worry about it. You don't know what we're talking about. Okay. But I'm excited about going to Burger King after church too. All right. Let's remember Dan and Susie as they're away on their honeymoon. Vacation time and things like that. And like I said, if you've got anything comes up, please don't hesitate to call me or Tom or Les, and we will be more than happy to help out whatever way we possibly can. And if we can't, we'll get somebody to help. We just want Dan and Susie to just have a wonderful few weeks together, okay, and not to aggravate them too much or anything like that. And he has no idea. He did not tell me to say that. I'm just saying that, okay? So that's coming just straight from me. So let's just remember them, that they have a wonderful time, and that God just bring them back safely, okay? It's good to have Karen and Rick with us here tonight. Good to have them with us here tonight, okay? And I got some stuff written down here too. Brenda had told me to get in touch with this family this past week, and I did. Ron and Linda Connor, and from what I can understand, they went to church here pre-COVID, and I've talked to them 2 or 3 times this week, and Linda's sister had surgery, and she's got a long road to recovery, so we want to remember her sister in our prayers tonight. But also, you can tell that the Holy Spirit and God is swaying them to come back to church. So let's just pray for them that they'll get back involved in church. And I think from what Linda's told me on the phone, it's been a while before they've came out to God's house, like I said, pre-COVID. So listen,
I don't care if you're at church every Sunday or if you've been out 3 years. The devil's always going to fight you on coming to church. Okay, so let's pray for them that they'll be swayed in the right direction and that they'll get back out in God's house. And if you get a chance to call Ron and Linda, I know they would greatly appreciate it. Like I said, I've talked to them twice this week, and you can feel God's pushing them to getting back into God's house. So I think God can use some of us to help push them in that direction, okay? So let's just remember them in our prayers too, okay? Matthew chapter 6, if you brought your Bibles with you tonight, we're just going to go through these a verse at a time and see how far we get. We're going to start in verse 5, and God really laid this thought on my mind this afternoon. We was going to finish out Romans chapter 8 tonight, but He's really dealt with me on prayer since we left church this morning. So as time got closer to coming to church, I knew Romans chapter 8 wasn't what God wanted. So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 tonight. And if you want to know how important that prayer is, just look around this sanctuary tonight. We've prayed for John Augustus. His leg, his back, his neck, illness, numbness in his face and things like that. We's worried about him. We've missed him. Well, God's grace and God's healing power brought him back to church this morning and tonight. So that's proof in this sanctuary as to why we pray. Dan and Susie having a safe time on their trip and being able to return home. You know, that's evidence that prayer works. You know, we don't think of that much when we think about prayer, but you know, when a family goes away on a trip or a vacation and we pray that they have a safe journey there and we pray that they have a safe journey back and they make it there safely and they get back safely, you know what, folks? That's an answered prayer. So don't take those little prayers for granted. That little kid that prays that they make an A on their history test, bless God, when they make an A on their history test, that's an answered prayer. And those kids, those children need to thank God for that. And listen, there is nothing too small to pray for. There is nothing too silly to pray for. The devil loves to get you to think that, well, that's such a small issue and that's such a small problem, you ought to be embarrassed to pray for something that small. Look at what other people's got going on in their lives. Their problems, their issues are much bigger than that, and you're trying to take away God's attention. You're trying to take away God's time to deal with this little matter or this little situation that you've got when you compare it to what somebody else may be going through. Listen, there's nothing too little for God, and there's nothing too big for God. God takes care of the little problems. God takes care of the big problems. So don't ever let the devil convince you and say, well, you know, you're just taking up too much of God's time. Listen, God is so much God that He can answer somebody's prayer over here and somebody's prayer over there at the same exact time. See, time means nothing to God. Time means everything to us. If I don't text you back, it's because I didn't have time. If I don't return your phone call, it's because I didn't have time, and I'm the world's worst. People will send me a text, and I will reply 6 days later, and by the time I reply, they don't even know what I'm talking about. I am the world's worst when it comes to that. In other words, I can't give you 100% of my attention 100% of the time because I'm human. But bless God, God can hear a million prayers at one time and decipher every one of them. God can hear a million prayers at one time, get a million requests at one time, and not be overwhelmed. You know, sometimes preachers get overwhelmed. They get overwhelmed with the needs of the flock. They get overwhelmed with the needs of their family. They get overwhelmed with the needs of their friends and things like that, just like every single one of us. Sometimes every single one of us get overwhelmed with the everyday needs of society. Well, bless God tonight, God don't even know what it feels like to be overwhelmed. Hallelujah. Because He's never been overwhelmed. So when we pray to God, we're putting our faith and trust in God to take care of something, to take care of a situation, to take care of a trouble, to take care of a trial, to take care of a problem, to take care of an issue. But I also want to say this tonight, and we'll get into the Scripture here in just a second, okay? God's just given me great liberty tonight, and I thank God for it. Sometimes we just need to pray and talk to God and just praise Him and thank Him for what He's done. Man, I'm guilty sometimes, folks. I will get in the rut and I will get in the routine of asking and asking and asking and asking. And before you know it, I've prayed Monday through Saturday and Saturday's rolled around and I've got a list a mile long of things that I've asked God for. And then I look and I reflect back and then I begin to throw a pity party on myself because you know what? I've asked God for all these things. Well, how much have I thanked Him for this week? How much have I praised Him for this week? Listen, we can ask God and pray and talk to God. God wants us to ask. God wants us to talk to Him. But I tell you right now, sometimes we just need to break out in a prayer of praise. Sometimes we just need to break out in a worship of praise through prayer. There's different styles of worship. You can sing and that's worship. You can preach and that's worship. You can teach and that's worship. You can read your Bible and that's worship. But hallelujah, I love it when a good old-fashioned prayer session works out and you're just praying and praising God and asking Him for nothing. Just praising Him for everything that He's done. So there's nothing wrong with doing that either. So the Bible, Jesus tells us about prayer right here in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 5. And we're going to go through some of this tonight. And the thought that God has laid on my heart and on my mind to continue with the food theme this morning, it's prayer, not paprika. It's prayer, not paprika. How many of you know what paprika is? Now, I might be wrong, so I need people to explain to me. I asked Lene because I didn't want to make a fool of myself tonight. I said, Lene, is paprika that stuff, that reddish, orangish stuff that people will sometimes put on their deviled eggs? Is that right? That's what paprika is. Okay. Then me and Lene got into a little discussion. I said, Lene, to me, paprika doesn't have a taste. It's just a decoration thing. And Lene's like, I think it's got a taste. And I was like, I know, it ain't got no taste. I can't taste it. So anyway, me and Lene disagree on what paprika is. I think it's just a decoration, and she thinks it's got a taste. So I'm going to give a poll tonight. Who thinks paprika is just a decoration? Who thinks it's got a taste? Okay, if you think it's a decoration, you're going to get this tonight. And if you think it's a taste, you're out in left field, and you ain't going to get anything, okay? But we'll get into this for a second. Think of think of a different element of cooking ware or cooking herbs or things like that that's just used, maybe parsley, I don't know, anything that you can think of that's just used for decoration. It has no taste whatsoever, but it's just used for decoration to make something look better. Maybe chives, I don't know, I'm just going to stop, okay? But just think about that for a second, all right? Well, let's look here at verse 5 of chapter 6. And when thou prayest, now this is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, speaking. And when thou prayest, so we find out right here in verse 5, in these first four words, we find out something very important. Jesus did not say, and when you decide to pray, or if you want to pray, or when you make time to pray, or if you feel like praying, He said, and when thou prayest. In other words, it is an expectation from God, and it is an expectation from Jesus Christ that the children of God pray and talk to God. Because the Bible says, and when thou prayest. You're going to pray, that's something that you've got to do. So, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. Now, what is a hypocrite? A hypocrite is somebody that is quick to judge somebody else, but they're out doing the same exact thing. So it would be like if I told Dustin, Dustin, don't eat two oatmeal cream pies, and then I go home and eat three. I would be a hypocrite, all right? Yeah, Tom, I do. You're right. Boy loves food, I do. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Now that's what got me the thought, paprika and praying's not the same thing. These people were praying in the synagogues, and they were praying on the corner of the streets just because they wanted to be seen. They wanted to make a spectacle of themselves. They wanted to make a show of themselves. So similar to something you cook, you know, you'll put something fancy on it that may not have a taste at all or anything like that, and it just makes it look good. Well, that's what these people that Jesus is pointing out right here, these hypocrites, they're standing in the synagogues and they're standing in the corner of the streets and they're making a spectacle of themselves and they are praying so that they will be seen by men, women, child, so that they will be seen by everybody. Listen, folks, I don't pray to be seen by anybody. I pray to be heard from by God. We don't pray to be seen from anybody tonight, bless God. We pray to be heard from God. And I want to share this with you. I'll see pictures sometimes floating around of politicians in this big prayer circle. And people's got hands laid on these politicians, and the pictures will start showing up all over the internet. And if you're on Facebook, they'll start showing up all over Facebook and things like that. And I am in no situation to make any comment or judgment on that at all, so I'm not going to do that. But I hope and pray that is just not a picture to float around to get votes to make somebody look good. Now, you might disagree with that. I really don't care if you do or not. Because the Bible says it's not about praying in public. It's not what we pray in public, bless God. But Jesus tells us to go into the closet to pray. Jesus tells us to get alone with God and pray. Jesus tells us to get alone with the Holy Spirit and pray and things like that. So I hope there's good intentions when those pictures float around. I don't know if there is or not or anything like that. I hope there's good intentions with that. But praise God, when we pray tonight, hallelujah, may we always have good intentions to just pray and talk to God and nothing else. Nothing else. We're not praying to be seen. We're not praying to be heard or anything like that. We're praying so that God can hear from us. That's why we pray. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets that they may be seen of men. Easy recognizable. Easy to be noticed. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Jesus flat out says right here, these hypocrites that are praying out in public, that are saying one thing, that are doing another, and they're praying just to put on a show. They're praying just to put on a spectacle. They're praying just to be the paprika on the deviled egg or any other spice you can think of or something like that. They're praying just to put on a show and all this stuff. They've got their reward. What is their reward? People walking by and saying, oh, did you see what they did? They prayed on that street corner. Oh, did you see what they did? They got up in front of everybody at church and they prayed. And man, how awesome that prayer was and all that stuff. And here's the problem with that, folks. When we pray, we shouldn't be drawing attention to ourselves. We should be drawing attention to God. Hallelujah. You see, it's not the prayer and how we pray and things like that. It's not the educated words that we use or anything like that. Praying is coming straight from the heart, straight from the gut, pleading your case, pleading your wants, pleading your needs, pleading your desires, pleading your heartaches to God, crying out from your heart, praying and talking to God so that God can hear your cries. So their reward is everybody's noticing them, everybody's recognizing them, everybody's pumping them up, telling them how awesome that they are, telling them how great that they are and things like that. Let me say this. I love praying in a public restaurant. It's great. I love to see a family pray in a public restaurant. It's wonderful. But I want to say something right now. If the intentions of that family of praying in a public restaurant is that they can be seen of the world, there's a problem with that. There's a problem with that. Kids, pray at school. Teenagers, pray at school. Do it. It's a great thing to do. Nobody can stop you from doing that. People say they took prayer to schools. Yeah, they did take prayer to schools. But if you really look at it and really read it, if a child of God wants to pray at school, they can pray at school. Ain't nobody can stop them. That's the truth. Can't be teacher-led or anything like that, but if a child of God wants to pray at school, a child of God can pray at school. But here's my thing. Do it so that God can be recognized, not so that you can be recognized. Because you ain't going to change anybody. But God can change anybody He comes in contact with, okay? So when we do these prayers, I'm not saying don't pray in public. I hope this ain't coming across wrong or anything like that. That's not what I'm saying. But let our prayers in public be so that people see the God that we serve and not who we are. All right, that's what it's all about. So then we get to verse 6. Jesus tells us in verse 5 how not to pray. So then He tells us in verse 6 how we are to pray. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Now I got to thinking about this just for a second. And then it goes on to say, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father. We're going to stop there just for a second. So Jesus is saying, when you pray, when you want to talk to God, go into your closet. Now what that means is go somewhere private. So have a private place to go and pray. So I encourage you tonight, if you don't have a private place to go and pray, you need to find a place to do that. whether it be your garage, whether it be your attic, whether it be an extra room in your house, whether it be your basement, whether it be somewhere at work or something like that, find a private place where nobody really knows about that you go and just pray and talk to God. Now you might say, well, why would you do that? Well, Jesus told us to. Now I can assure you, if Jesus told us to do something, we're going to get a blessing out of it. So find you a private place to go and talk to God. And then I got to thinking about that. How many people in the church world today, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Now we've got a great church. God is moving in, as God is blessing, and I thank God for it. But how many people in the church world today would do a work in the church if they got no recognition for it? If nobody saw what they did? See, what I'm getting at, folks, is this. We live in a society where when anytime anybody does something, and there's people that think this way, when they do something, they want the round of applause, they want the pat on the back, they want the glory and the honor, and the only way that they're going to do something is if the project is big enough so that their name can be tied into it so that they can get all the credit and get all the glory and get all the honor. But if you ask them to do a work that nobody recognizes or nobody pays attention to or nobody takes any thought of or anything like that, they'll say, well, no, I just ain't got time to do that. Now, that's the truth. That goes on in the church world today and time that we live in. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'll do anything God wants me to do. If it's to flip cheeseburger when we have a grill out, I'll flip a cheeseburger. If it's to clean a commode, I'll clean a commode. I don't care what the job is tonight. And it shouldn't matter to us what the job is tonight, bless God. To think that God loves us enough to put us in a church where we can work and where we can serve the living God and the living Savior and let the Holy Spirit, like we said this morning, lead God and direct us, that God would put us in a church where we could work, bless God. It don't matter what the job is, hallelujah. Just do it for God, bless God. It don't matter what the job is. Because at the end of the day, there's no pecking order in jobs for Christ. God's going to honor every work that's done in His house. Hallelujah. So thank God for that. But He's saying, go into your closet and pray. Now these hypocrites that were making a spectacle of prayer, they ain't going to do that. Why? Well, nobody's going to see them. Nobody's going to notice them. Nobody's going to recognize them. Can I tell you tonight, the world may not recognize you as a child of God, but that don't, well, it should by the way we live. But that's not what I'm talking about. The world may not recognize you sometimes and who you are, but I tell you right now, God recognizes who you are. And at the end of the day, that's all that matters. But when thou prayest, enter thou into the closet. So get alone, get by yourself. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So what is Jesus telling us right here? Well, if you don't make prayer a spectacle, if you don't make prayer the paprika on a deviled egg or a spice that just decorates something or something like that, but if you actually want to get down to business and you actually want to pray and you actually want to talk to me, get alone with me, pray and talk to me, and that you pray within the secret that nobody knows about, I'm going to reward thee openly. That's straight from Jesus' mouth, folks. That's a promise straight from the Son of God. So if you wonder tonight, if you're thinking, well, you know, is it worth it me trying to find that secret place to pray? Yeah, if you read verse 6, it's worth it tonight. So if you've been praying for something and you've not found that secret place, find that secret place where you can get alone with just you and God. And you see what begins to happen. You see how God continues to work. I don't care to say this tonight because I know Pam mentioned it. Pam's mentioned us praying for Mouse to come out to church many times. Well, I guarantee you, Pam's prayed privately about that too. But what happened this morning? Mouse Williams came to church. That's why we do it, folks. That's why we pray privately. Yes, we share with our brothers and sisters. Yes, we pray in church. I love altar prayer. I love all those things. All those things are great. All those things are wonderful. But man, sometimes it's great just to get in an intimate place with God, alone with Him, and just talk to Him. Verse 7, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard of their much speaking. Now there's some religions that they have prayers planned out. They're in a book. and the whole congregation says them aloud together and all this stuff, and they read them, and I'm not judging things or anything like that. But to me, when I read the scripture out here, that's Jesus saying that's not how we pray. A prayer is not programmed into some book. A prayer is not a chant or something that's set out by everybody or anything like that. But no, that's not what prayer is. And that's what Jesus is saying here in verse 8. When you pray, don't use vain repetitions. In other words, don't keep repeating to God what you need. Can I tell you this tonight? God knows what you needed before you even asked Him. God knows what you needed before you even asked Him, bless God. Listen, that's the God that we serve. Before I even get in my private place to talk to God, God already knows what Nick Kobach's asking for before I even ask Him. Hallelujah. So I don't have to repeat to God. You might have to repeat things to me 5 or 6 times. Brenda Coles told me, I've already forgot, Brenda Coles told me about Ron and Linda Connor for about 3 weeks now. I can't remember their name. I've had to write it down 6 times. I've had to write down that announcement. She told me about the spaghetti dinner. I kept forgetting. I had to write down the stuff about Stacy. They had to repeat themselves several times, and I still kept forgetting it. Well, then I had to write it down. Bless God, not only do you not have to repeat to God, but God don't even have to write it down. He can remember it. Why? Because He's God. So we don't have to repeat ourselves to God. Ask Him, and He knows. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard of their much speaking. Listen, you can ask the same God the same question 50 times, and if it's God's will that it not be done, it's going to be no 50 times. It's not going to change on 52. It's not going to change on 53. If God's answer is no, and if God's will is not changing, it's God's will whether or not our prayer gets answered. God has the final say on whether or not our prayer gets answered. And His answer is always yes or no. I want to say something. You know, it's easy to thank God for the times that God has said yes, but I think sometimes we need to reflect back on our lives and say, God, I'm so thankful You said no to this prayer, because if You would have said yes, who knows where I'd be right now. Who knows what would be going on in my life right now? You see, sometimes we get to the place and point in life where we think we know what's better than God, and we say, God, why aren't You doing this? Well, we may only see next week, but God sees the next 20 years. Hallelujah. And sometimes God says no because He sees something that's going to happen 20 years down the line, and He knows if He says yes, it's going to mess that up. I'm thankful for the times that God has said no to. You ever complained about God being late? Didn't answer it in a timely manner? People in the Bible did. There's a song sung. I've heard it sung here in this church many times. But bless God, even when God's 4 days late, He's right on time. They thought He was late because Lazarus was dead. But Jesus had a point in being late, because He wanted the works of His Father to be shown to everybody, so that everybody could see who He was and everybody could see who that God was. You know, sometimes God is late on our time frame just so that He shows up on the scene and shows us who He really is, bless God. Thank God for the times He showed up in my life when I thought He was late, hallelujah. Thank God for the times He said yes. Thank God for the times He said no. Thank God for the times He showed up in my life and I thought He was late, but hallelujah, bless God, He showed up right on time, hallelujah. Thank God for it. Verse 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. You don't have to repeat to God, folks, over and over and over what you need. He knows. He knows what you need. Okay? And then we're going to finish this right here. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. So verse 9 right here, this is commonly known as the Lord's Prayer. So Jesus is modeling prayer right here. So we're just going to look at this. Now, you could take the Lord's Prayer and break it up, and you could probably do a great preacher could do a whole sermon on it. I'm not a great preacher, so you're not going to get a whole sermon on the Lord's Prayer. But look at this. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Jesus is saying this is how you pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. How does Jesus start off this prayer right here? He starts off this prayer praising God. praising God for who He is. Our Father, which art in heaven. So not only does He tell us here that God is our Father, but He gives us the location of God. God's in heaven. I'm thankful that God is my Father, but I'm also thankful that I know where my God is at tonight. He's on the throne in heaven. Hallelujah. He's praising God for who He is. Hallowed be Thy name. Reverence. Respect. You know, there's been kings throughout time. The peasants of early civilizations and things like that have had to go before the king of England or France, or you could even go medieval times and things like that, and they would have to bow before that king and show that king great respect so that they wouldn't die or so that they wouldn't get kicked out of their community. I'm going to tell you something tonight. There's only one king I'm bowing to, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not bowing to anybody in Washington. I'm not bowing to anybody in England. I'm not bowing to anybody in China. I'm not bowing to anybody in Taiwan, North Korea, South Korea, or anything like that, because they ain't none of them that's hallowed enough that deserve the respect and the reverence to be bowed down to. The only one that has the reverence and respect and to be bowed down to is God Himself and the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day, bless God, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, the saved and the lost, bless God, that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yes, God's name's been disrespected here, but hallelujah, it won't be that way forever. We'll all bow. There'll just be a difference in the bowing. We'll be excited to bow. We won't be able to wait to bow. I like that. Did you say I'll be able to bow? Yeah, that's good too. I like that. That's good. I like it. We'll be able to bow. Yeah, that's good. I like it. Man, I can't wait to see Satan bow. I can't wait. Woo, that's going to be awesome. All right. Verse 10, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. What is Jesus saying right here? Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. God's will is going to be done. Ain't nothing stopping it. What's going on in Israel right now? God's will. What's going on in Israel right now? God's will be done. What's going on in the world tonight? Places I don't even know. I don't keep up with it that much. God's will is going to be done. So that's why it's so important, bless God. I want to be in the center of God's will. Because God's will is going to be done no matter what. Whether or not I'm in it or whether or not I'm out of it, God's will is going to be done. So why not get in it? Hallelujah. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. I love that. Notice Jesus here. He didn't say, give us this day our weekly bread. Give me enough of my needs for a week, God. He said, my daily bread. Daily, God, take care of me. Daily, God, take care of my needs. Make sure I got water. Make sure I got something to eat. Make sure I've got shelter. We should pray to God. Jesus is telling us right here when He says, give us this our daily bread. Bless God, we got to rely on God every day of our lives. I need Him every day. We need to pray every day. We need to read our Bibles every day. We need to talk to a brother and sister in the Lord Jesus Christ every day. Bless God, that's just not a Sunday thing. That's just not a Sunday night thing. That's just not a Wednesday night thing. But hallelujah, it's an everyday thing with God, bless God. It's an everyday thing. Give us this our daily bread. Boy, He does, don't He? He does. And forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Whew, He's done that too, hadn't He? He's forgave me of my debts. But you know what? If He forgives us of our debts, we need to forgive our debtors too. We'll get into that in just a second because it comes back to us. Verse 13, lead us not into temptation. Now stop, I want you to stop because that goes with what God allowed me to speak on this morning about being swayed. Do we ever pray to God, lead us not into temptation? Sometimes we wait till the temptation arrives, then we pray to God. Bless God, let's pray before the temptation arrives. Let's pray before the temptation gets there. Don't wait for the temptation gets there to pray and talk to God. But hallelujah, get ahead of it and say, God, I know I'm going to be tempted today. I know Satan's going to throw something out there to tempt me today. And God, I want you to lead me not into temptation. I want you to help me to say no. God, I know I'm not being tempted right now, but I know it's going to happen. So let's get ahead of it. Let's get ahead of it tonight. Let's get ahead of temptation. But deliver us from evil. Woo! He's delivered me from evil tonight. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God's authority right there. It's your kingdom. It's your power. It's your glory forever. It's going to last forever. Amen. Thank God for that. Verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We all love forgiveness. I love forgiveness. I've needed it many times. I've needed it from God. I've needed it from family. I've needed it from friends. But folks, if we're willing to accept forgiveness, we better be willing to give it. I feel like that's something maybe in the church and day and a time that we're living in, because there's so much division amongst religions and things like that. And I don't care a thing in the world about a religion. I don't. I don't care one thing about it. You shouldn't either. It's all Jesus Christ. But there's so much division among churches and among religions today on what's right and what's wrong. And, well, you can't forgive somebody of that. Look at what they did and things like that. Listen, I'm going to tell you something right now, folks. When God forgives somebody and God cleans up their life, if I can't forgive that person, that's a me problem. That's no longer a them problem. That's no longer a God problem. That's a me problem. And let me flip that around and say it this way too. If God's forgiven you, then bless God, that's all you need to make it to heaven. And if you got people in your life and people in your family and friends and so-called that's unwilling to forgive you, even though you've already got forgiveness of God and you've got forgiveness from your family, but they won't forgive you, then that's on them tonight. That's their load to carry, because you did your part. You confessed to God and God's forgiven you. Now they got to forgive you. Let's be forgiven, folks. As much as we want forgiveness, we got to be willing to give it too. And if we do that, you talk about souls being saved. You talk about church houses being full again. You talk about revivals breaking loose. You talk about baptistries being used and things like that. Let's have the forgiveness in our heart that God gave each and every one of us. And let's take it out here to a lost and dying world. And let's see what happens, okay? I hope y'all got something from that tonight. I enjoyed my time here this morning. I love this church. I love being a part of this church. My wife loves this church. My kids love this church. I love Dan. I love Susie. They both have been a big help to us. And this church has been a big help to my family. And we really love you all. And we really appreciate you all. And I'm so glad that Dan's getting some time away to enjoy some time with Susie. I've not been here long, but I've known Dan for 10 plus years. And I know he loves this place. And I know he's worked hard here for many years, and he's deserved what he's got. He's deserved his time off. So, and I'm just thankful that I'm the one that gets to fill in for you wonderful people. And I mean that. I'm thankful that I'm the one that gets to fill in. And I'm thankful for him that he let me use God's pulpit at his church, okay? Remember them as they're traveling and things like that. The Christmas songs, if you've not been here early enough to hear Christmas practice, I'm going to tell you something. They are epic. They are awesome. I cannot wait for you all to hear the Christmas songs. Okay? Epic, I think, is a word teenagers use today. I don't know. I'm just trying to be cool, okay? All right. Let's stand to our feet. We'll be dismissed in a word.